What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Another edition of Meet Me at Mutual, probably the next to last regular season edition of Meet Me at Mutual, but surprisingly enough, there's no guarantee that there won't be a postseason edition as well. I'm your host, Daniel Choptaw, C70 at the Bat, at C70. With me is Alan Medlock from the Redbird Daily and AMedlock1 on Twitter. And last week when we were recording, the Cardinals had just lost a game to the Cubs, which put them kind of behind the eight ball. And then they lost two more to the Cubs, which seemed to not only put them behind the eight ball, but probably the other seven as well. And there just didn't seem to be much hope. But somehow, we're going into this, and we're recording this Friday night, as we always do, just an hour or so, probably less, after the Cardinals have rallied to win their fourth straight game, this time beating the Pirates 4-3 in what was the craziest ninth that you're probably going to see for a while. And depending on how the Brewers come out or how the Rockies come out, which games are still in the balance, the Cardinals could be as close as a half a game for the second wild card. And Alan, I mean, we have... You know, you and I have talked about it, Tara and I have talked about it on Gateway. There just is no explanation for why this team that we have shoveled dirt on I don't know how many times this season can now be within, you know, if things break right tonight and things break right tomorrow night, they could be a playoff team by the end of tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's crazy. I understand a lot of teams are running out of gas at this point and have left the door wide open for them, and they seem to be taking advantage up until the time to really step their foot through. It's a lot of fun. You know, that's what, like you and I were texting back and forth today, and we've said on the show before, what we wanted was to have meaningful September baseball, not to have our summer ruined, and to see, you know, some of the Memphis guys come up to account for some of that playing time, and it's happened, and, you know, they seem to improve when they do it. So they're right in the middle of it, and it's going to go up until the last game and last series next week when they're going to be at Busch. So you just never know, and it's really hard to explain. I mean, you and I have talked about that ad nauseum at this point of – this has been the hardest thing to predict that in any memory or any year I can remember. It's really crazy.
You know, let's just talk a little bit about tonight's game because that's what's fresh in our heads. Cards get out to a 2-0 lead. Michael Wacha then has one bad inning, which seems to be kind of Michael Walker's MO this year. It seems like he'll stumble in one inning, and that's if he's going to have a bad inning at all, I guess. But gave up the two runs, tied it up. Pittsburgh scores in, I think, the seventh, made it 3-2. And then we find the ninth. Now, everything worked out fine. Everything worked out great. But there were still a lot of questionable decisions in that eighth and ninth inning by Mike Matheny. And I hate to be somebody that's beaten on Matheny, especially when the Cardinals are, you know, are winning, and did win, but I don't know. I mean, there's just some stuff that, you know, it's like, well, we've said it for years. Mike Matheny is like the most blessed person out there because no matter what he does at times, it doesn't make any sense and it has no basis in reality or fact. It works at times and you get a game like tonight.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know everybody will kind of point to the Nicasio at bat, which is kind of it's kind of a void at this point. Mm-hmm. I was more, you know, just like you could show on our message thread, I thought the Kelly bunt attempt was terrible. I thought it was a terrible idea. I was like, you get a leadoff double and you're really going to do this and play for the tie against a guy that's hard to bunt to a guy who probably hasn't bunted much. And going down 0-2, and it still seemed to work out for him. I was really worried that was going to kill the momentum of the inning. But, you know, it worked out. And then, of course, the at-bat with Dicasio. Glad that he's as good as he is, because that would have really blown up in their face.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Nicasio, one, he has kind of like that backup quarterback mentality. We haven't seen Nicasio really fail. He's come from outside the organization. He's this new fresh face, and so we kind of feel like he's just always going to be awesome, and he will. Hey, so far he has been. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that's wrong. I just think that our impressions, and perhaps Mike Matheny's impression of him, is a little bit rose-colored glasses because he hasn't been here all year, and so he's got to be better than the guys we have. And so yeah, I was a little concerned that, you know, when you let him bat with a run, one-run game, two on, two out, you're just asking for, you know, a bloop and a blast and, you know, things to go downhill. But, you know, on the flip side of that, as somebody pointed out, who do you go to if Nicasio isn't available? Tyler Lyons pitched too much yesterday. You couldn't go to him in the ninth. Who are you going to put into the ninth inning to save a game that you have to win if you pinch hit for him?
Yeah, that's, I mean, that was the one thing, the way that I would have handled it probably would have blown up in my face too, but I would have gotten Alcantara up late and just said, okay, go finish this, and not let him think about it and just ride with your decision. That's exactly what I would have done. But, you know, he probably would have given up a bomb or whatnot, but it would blown up in their face. And we're so lucky that it all worked out. But I know exactly where you're coming from, and that's exactly how they felt about it, which leads into another issue that we had talked about before right after they had acquired him. They're going to use him as their closer until they can't. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to have anybody to use in a one-game playoff or a potential series. So I guess you can't plan for that. You got to get there. But he's getting all the save attempts where I didn't think that would happen.
Yeah, and I think to some degree we have seen, they haven't seen save attempts, although maybe once or twice. But Tyler Lyons has come into some very high leverage situations. And so my feeling is, I mean, he does very well against lefty. He does pretty solid against righties too, as I mentioned today in my post. My feeling is that's who's going to be the guy that steps in if there is a postseason need.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I don't think everybody has kind of come to that conclusion. Now, the only downside to that is when you've got that tough lefty in the seventh inning, like we saw last night when Joey Votto was up with the game on the line, do you go to Lyons then and hope that somebody else can shut the door in the ninth? Or do you hold him and force somebody like a Ryan Sheriff or a Brett Cecil to take those lefties, which hasn't worked out as well? So I don't know. I think that's a dangerous thing to worry about. But we got to, like you said, we got to get there first.
Exactly. And you know what? It's this. He doesn't have confidence in a lot of those guys. I do. I have noticed that Duke is his safety net a lot of times, and I think that's just because he's a veteran. Duke has been a lot better, but then you saw what happened yesterday. But you know, home runs at that ballpark are almost like at Coors. All mistakes go out in Cincinnati. So you know that you can't. I guess you can't hold that too much against him, because the same thing happened in Nicasio. And is it the opening night or it was the second night in game two?
Yeah.
You know, he gave up a long home run. So you know, I'm not sure. I think that if in any situation like that, I think he's going to get go. I could see him going with Lyons in any of those big situations and then figuring it out from there and maybe piecing it together batter by batter, you know, at that situation. Now, you're right, though. We're putting the cart before the horse, but, you know, it is something to think about.
Well, and like you said, the bunt with Kelly, for a guy, again, that hasn't been batting, maybe that's why you feel like he's not got the swing. But, you know, again, you put him in a huge hole to try to balance back 0-2, and he did a great job doing that, battling back to like a 2-2 count and then hit a deep fly ball. But what was really made no sense about that, and you know, you probably saw I tweeted about it at the time, they had just pinch run, you know, Stephen Piscotty leads off that inning with a double, which a lot of people are going to forget. Stephen Piscotty did not look good early in the game, but he came through at the time it mattered, and that's good. The pinch run for Piscotty with Bader, and the idea there is, you know, be able to run, you know, score from second on a base hit, you know, speed.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're going to bunt, you might as well leave Piscotty out there. I mean, yeah. there's no reason to, you know, switch a guy out and then bunt. You know, again, it like we said, it's Mike Matheny. It worked out because, you know, Kelly hits the long fly ball, and I think, you know, Bader tagged up and went to third, which Piscotty probably couldn't do. So it all worked out. But it's like, you know, well, you've seen the GIF we have up there on Twitter of, you know, all the quadrants, and it's, you know, good result, bad, you know, process. And that seems to be the way it is. And I guess that's the way you want it. I mean, you want the luck, the good results, but, you know, man, it's just difficult to see sometimes. And
not putting yourself in the best situation to succeed. Yeah. I mean, I completely agree with that. I thought the same thing. I'm just like, you're putting him in where you don't, you're putting him in it to not need a bunt there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's the first thing I thought about. I was like, not only was it Kelly against a guy that's very hard to bunt in Rivero, I was like, that's, you ran Bader so you wouldn't have to bunt. Mm-hmm. To me, so I mean, I agree with you. I just made it wording it wrong. So,
no, you're
so
good.
Yeah, I mean, it's got that lucky charm and got out of it. But yeah, there was definitely some questionable moves. Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, you'd like to think if you're a superstitious type, you start thinking everything's going the Cardinals' way. You know, maybe something's going to come out of this. Now, I think that may be asking a lot. But there's no doubt that as much as we've talked about this team being so different than the 2011 team, and they are, there's a little bit of that 2011 vibe this week with the Cardinals winning games that they should win. But then you have Colorado losing to teams like San Francisco and San Diego. You know, you have the Brewers losing the game last night when they had a lead to the last strike in the ninth. You know, all this kind of stuff starts working in the same way, and you start thinking, you know, maybe there's something going to happen out of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough not to, and especially the way that they're doing it. They're really confident right now, and it's funny that this confidence came after getting beat by a team that I thought just flat looked better, mm-hmm. you know, last weekend. You know, they countered with, just like, you know, we were using our basketball analogy, the Cardinals it seemed like it took them about 8 minutes to score 10 points in a basketball term, mm-hmm. to where it took the Cubs like two. You know, they were that quick, and they constantly put the pressure on. And the Cardinals just couldn't match it. And then coming in to Cincinnati on Tuesday, and immediately getting down in the game.
Yep.
And coming back, and since then, they've just seemed like a different team. I guess that ballpark will help you out, too. But then you go to Pittsburgh, and you play relatively well in a comeback and force the issue by good base running and good decisions. So it's really funny that they're really forcing the issue, and they look like the team that's had the lead on everybody all year, not the one that's trailing, like, you know, your Colorado's and your Milwaukee a little bit, to where they kind of look like they're on their heels. So, I don't know. They're scoring early. They're getting the lead. And, you know, starting pitching's been good. So, it's, I don't know, it's exciting. And it's really this season is such a head-scratcher.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make much sense at all. And, you know, like I said, there's a lot of people that are going to be saying, well, they're beating the bad teams, and they are. But you got to beat those teams. And, mm-hmm. you know, like I said, Colorado's not. And that's the biggest thing. Colorado has really scuffled. And you were saying you were watching them, and they look like they've kind of hit their wall. And it still remains to be seen if they can power through it.
Yeah, I mean, I can – just an update right now. They're going to the bottom of the fourth right now, and they're getting no hit by Jordan Lyles, who they lit up last time. And, you know, he's looked really good, but Colorado has taken a lot of – they've taken long at-bats, but not good at-bats. Mm-hmm. And this – kind of the same thing yesterday. They really couldn't get out of their own way. So it's – I'm curious. I think they have a lot of sawdust on their hands right now, but I think that they're really wearing out. And, I mean, it's so beneficial in St. Louis, and you kind of feel bad for a team like the Rockies that have been so good most of the year. You know, they were a really good team until August, and now you just wonder if it's not, if that battle's just not weighing on them a little bit, or if their last bit of momentum wasn't the L.A. and Arizona series.
Now, what year was it? I'm trying to remember. I don't think it was 2009. But I think it was in La Russa era, so maybe it was. I don't remember exactly. But it was one of those years. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was the Matheny time era, where the Brewers had that lead. You know, led the division for like 150 days or something like that, and you know, just gave it up at the end. And the Cardinals wound up winning the division. That may have been 13. I don't know. These seasons are starting to blend together in my old mind.
No.
But
it was kind of similar to that in 11, too.
Yeah, I mean, 11.
Yeah, I know you're not talking about the same thing, they were up like 6.5 in late August.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got, you know, a lot of when the Braves and all them just kind of fell apart. But, I mean, these. But baseball is a long season, and that's really the advantage of it. Is you see that you have to whoever survives 162 games, you know, it means something. They're a good team, and even as much as a wild card has diluted that a little bit because you don't have to win your division, you know, you're still going to win. You know, usually 88 to 90 win games, even to make the wild card. And to be able to survive that marathon means something. Even if it doesn't pan out in the postseason, it means you're a good team. And that's something that no other sport really has. I mean, you know, basketball and hockey are lengthy seasons, but they're half the size of baseball season, and with the days off and the way way players, you know, the game's just different. I don't know that any of them, that marathon matters like baseball does.
Sure. I mean, think about this. And, I mean, we've talked about it. We can go back on the records and find it. There have been stretches where I thought they were maybe a fourth-place team in the division. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They played that poorly. Then they come out of it and, you know, put string some wins together. Not big winning streaks, but win, you know, 10 to 15. You put yourself in it. It just shows what it takes. You know, now, there's not a lot of teams that do what Chicago did last year. I mean, look what L.A.'s doing, similar to what Chicago did last year, and they seem like they've ran out of gas. Now, they may rebound just because they're pitching. But, you know, that's one of those where you're thinking, man, a month ago, they were talking about they were a shoe-in to win the all-time amount of games. Think, oh, they're really wavering, you know, and if Arizona would have kicked it in a little bit sooner, this could have gotten a little bit interesting. I mean, they're not going to clinch until, you know, this weekend. And everybody thought it would have been 2 weeks ago. So it's crazy. It shows what it – and that's the beauty of the game to me. Just keep playing. That's what – we fought this all year. Just like, well, that's all we hear is, you know, it's a long season. And ultimately, these guys are going to hit stride. And it may fall short, but they've obviously hit stride. And,
absolutely. You know, I want to talk a little bit. We're kind of probably scattershot here tonight, most likely, but I want to talk a little bit about Matt Carpenter, because we talked about him, was it last week? I guess it was last week we were talking about how he just, the shoulder seems to be still bothering him, and he's just going up there looking to walk. I think he's gotten a little bit better at that. I mean, the shoulder still seems to be affecting him some. You're still seeing some pretty weak throws. But, you know, I look at the numbers, and again, not counting tonight, where he had a double and a walk, I think. He's hitting 281. He's slugging 625. since he came back from that cortisone shot. 3 home runs in 12 games. I know people, I know there's people on Twitter. There is a group that definitely is anti-Carpenter, who are, of course, complaining that Carpenter's out there at 60%. And he shouldn't be out there because he's hurting the team. And I get that if he's hurting the team, but you know, you look at these numbers overall right now, and it's difficult. I mean, he's got a 1.146 OPS. And defensively, I can't think of any miscues that he's made. Again, those throws don't look good, but for the most part, he's getting the outs. You know, again, I've been down on Carpenter significant times this year. We've talked about it a number of times. But right now, I don't see how you say Matt Carpenter needs to sit when you're going to play a guy like Luke Voit, who has got, what, 3 at-bats in, like, the last 2 months. A guy that, you know, maybe he could do you something, but I don't know that he's going to do you what Carpenter's doing. Or you play, and you got Jerko, who apparently is still not to the point where he can really play the field. He did one time, but they're not playing him, you know, even when Jose Martinez leaves tonight and Carpenter shifts over, they don't bring Jerko in. So I just think that there's some blinders on to seeing what Carpenter's actually doing on the field.
Yeah, that's well put. The weird thing about it is he doesn't look himself, mm-hmm. and there probably someone can bring up numbers to prove me wrong on this, but this is the best their offense has looked, I think. Yeah. And it's just I guess best isn't the word I'm looking for. Maybe the most cohesive that they've looked. It looks like everybody's kind of fit at this point. And, you know, there's a lot of on base. It's getting it's a different alignment than we thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And you throw in Pham instead of Diaz, but this is what the offense is based on. Now, the cleanup guy to do this didn't think it was going to be Martinez, but it's worked out, you know, and they're scoring runs. And I think you've alleviated a little bit of pressure off DeJong. Not to veer off your question, no. but yeah, I mean, I just think that Carpenter means that much to him that, would you say 75% is what he's playing right now? I don't know.
Maybe. But he's 60-75%, but
yeah. And you know, there's been a little bit, he seems like he's barreling a few more balls than he was. Mm-hmm. Now, something did happen in the game today that surprised me, and it was Al and Dan both talking about how painful his throws looked. Yeah. And I go, well, that's probably just blowing this out of proportion a little bit. And then they showed his face. And then they went around the horn with Martinez first. Yeah. And I was like, Cardinals don't do that. They hardly ever do that. Go to the first base bag to go around the horn. And it was to cut his throw down, which I thought was really interesting because I saw him wince. And I'm like, this could be a problem. I'm kind of ready to – this is going to sound terrible. I'm ready to see how severe this is.
Yeah. You know, it does feel like it's – I mean, again, it's one of those things that's going to have to be a rest. That we've talked about that number of times. And so it's – If it becomes something more than that, if it becomes something that they have to do surgery on, then that changes the equation somewhat. But we'll just have to see. Looks like you can verify game days and other things have been goofy tonight, but it looks like the Rockies have taken a 1-0 lead with Nolan Arenado home run.
Well, that would that would be fitting.
Yeah.
Since I just opened my mouth, they did. They Gray has looked really good too for them, so sure. They could be building a little bit of momentum on this. I had actually turned it over to watch the top of the 10th in the Cubs game, so I missed the bomb.
Yeah.
So I've still got the post game going on the TV, and I've got the Rockies Padres on the computer now. But I switched it over during the commercial break to watch the bottom of the ninth, top of the 10th in the Cubs
game. Well, and that's the thing. We're just, you know, we're sitting here juggling, watching 2 or 3 games because they have input. We figured that by this time, you know, we were talking about it. You know, I think we looked it up. Maybe we talked about it last time that the Cardinals haven't played meaningless ball. And if you saw, I'm going to put meaningless, meaning that they haven't played after being eliminated. since Mike Matheny took over. They haven't done that since 2010, and looked it up, they only had like 5 games in 2010 in that regard. So you have to go back to probably 2008 before they played more than a handful of games in this kind of situation. And they're not going to do it again this year. With a win tonight, I think even at worst-case scenario, it's like Tuesday or Wednesday before they could be eliminated. You're looking at 3 or 4 games, maybe. And that's, again, worst-case, which is not likely to happen. So it's kind of interesting to be able to sit here and monitor and try to figure out who we want to win and when the Cubs and Brewers are playing each other and things like that. But to get back to the point that you were talking about, you're right, this offense has clicked, and it is because they're getting what we thought we would be getting, just in a different fashion. You know, they've got Carpenter leading off, and, you know, whatever you may think of him, you can't deny he's at least getting on base, and he's still hitting a little bit. It's getting a little bit of pop going there, although not maybe what we expected with the doubles and stuff. He, you know, 2 doubles and 3 homers in 12 games is not too bad. And then you've got Pham, who's been outstanding all year long. But then you get Dexter Fowler, who, you know, right now is amazingly hot. And it's the guy you thought would come be leading off. But, you know, he's bringing that on-base percentage plus some much more slugging than you ever thought he would bring. Then you get Jose Martinez, who's a guy that we had all written off for, you know, what in the world is Jose Martinez doing on this team? And then you get Yadier Molina, who's obviously not affected by anything. Playing his best baseball here in August and September. And you get that 1 through 5, and then you get Paul DeJong, who, you know, you and I have talked about, looks like he's kind of hit a wall here in September, but until then, you know, that's a lineup. A Colton Wong in there doing well when he's healthy. You just have to worry about that last position spot. You know, you don't know what you're going to get out of Grichuk or Piscotty, who's usually the one that's there. But when you can put that lineup out there, and when they're hitting like they have been, you're going to put up some runs.
Yeah, because they're going to be on base. It is 2-0 Colorado at this point. It's actually fun to watch. I've never, you know, from you and I growing up, where it was all speed at the top of the lineup, I still kind of find it funny that the slowest guy leads off, and you have the 2 best base runners, you know, arguably in the division. Maybe, and Pham and Fowler behind him, you know. But it works, and they all get on and square up balls. So keep riding it out. I don't know if that'll be the configuration next year, but yeah, it might.
Yeah, I mean, next year, again, we continue to talk about this, and it is interesting to see. I think Rick Hummel had a chat this week where he said basically that this stretch of good play is not going to overshadow the 5 months that came before it when it comes to decision making, or at least in his opinion it wouldn't. I don't know if he had the front office had said that or what, but I think that's the key, because we could have a real good positive feel about this team even if they don't make the playoffs. If they win, you know, have this September where they're winning games, and if they could win, you know, 4 or 5 of that homestand against the Cubs and the Brewers, even if they fell a little short, you start, you know, at least you go out with a buzz and with a good feelings. And so it'd be easy for a front office to say, well, we're going to make this change and that change, but we really saw this. We saw what this team was capable of in September, and we won't want to do a whole lot of it and a whole lot of manipulating. And I think that's just a recipe for coming back and having problems mm-hmm. next year. So hopefully they're going to look at some of these things. That being said, I think the question on a lot of people's minds is, did this run save Mike Matheny's job?
Yes, in the fact that I don't think that he was in trouble.
Yeah.
Now, I think that if there was a situation where they played like this, up and down, lifeless at times, next year, I think next year is probably the year that you probably talk about it. He's done a pretty good job, considering what, considering, you know, the moving parts that he's had to deal with. You know, that's, and I know that gives fuel to the fire that Mozeliak has done a bad job, which I don't think at all. I'm really high on the work that he's done, but you know, you and I pointed out five things that we would have done differently already on this episode in a win. So there's always going to be nitpicking about it, but he's done a pretty good job.
Yeah, I mean, he's gotten decent results, put that way. We've said that. Yeah. You know, it's kind of the same thing. Cause,
yeah.
You know, when you look at, you look at how many guys are out there in that bullpen that aren't getting used in situations that it makes some sense to, when they still try to go to Matt Bowman or go to, you know, Ryan Sheriff has earned his way apparently into situations that he doesn't necessarily need to be in. You know, he should be kind of limited to lefties a little bit right now, but. And that's not something that Matheny believes. So I mean, there are questionable things, but you're right. The team has a better attitude. It has more cohesiveness than it did just a couple of months ago. So whether that's Matheny, whether that's the players just coming together, you know, it comes to about the time when they started doing their hand gestures. So maybe that's it. I don't know. I am with you. I don't think that they were going to get rid of Matheny anyway. I think that he was going to make it. I'm sorry, I was keeping an eye out. Look like the Cubs have got the bases loaded. So
I finally, after the post game now, if you need anything, I've got. Mine usually seems to run slower than yours. I run it through a PS3 and then my computer. And I don't know why they work against each other on this one. I need to bring the 4 in here. Yeah. It would be so much better. But the Wyatt has taken that. That's my son, by the way. Yeah, so that I never see that. But, yeah, the you know, Knebel will probably get out of this.
We'll see.
Anyway,
I don't think that there was enough real, but I mean, there was a lot of complaining about Mike Matheny for sure, but I don't think it had gotten to the point where the club had to move him. And then with this, I think with this stretch, it really helps them not to have to worry about that. You know, I think there should be some hard look there, don't get me wrong, but
sure.
I just don't, it wasn't going to happen, and it probably really isn't going to now that the Cardinals have gotten into this race. I think the biggest thing for me in this, and I mean, we may have talked about it some before, but it's just the starting pitching and how well it's been. I know that we've got Lyons, and you've got Nicasio, and pretty much Bowman, but the rest of the bullpen still kind of hit or miss. I mean, you're really not sure what you're going to get. Brebbia might be one that's pretty good. But it's just the starting pitching has done so well, and like I said, the offense has given them enough leads. You don't have to go to four guys in huge leverage situations. You know, you've got a 3 or 4 run lead, and it's okay.
Yeah, it's... That's the one worry, that troublesome thing is, like I said, it goes back to Cincinnati. Those things are such high scoring games that you can get work in. Mm-hmm. But there, you know, Bernie was going over it this week about how improved the bullpen was. I guess it's a prisoner of the moment. You know, I mean, you're like, oh, it did great because it shut this out, mm-hmm. or hey, it's terrible because they blew a lead. We haven't really seen that much. So it's just hard to say how much confidence I personally have in some of the guys that are out there, because there's times where I just catch myself so nervous pitch to pitch. I do that a lot with Waka starts as well, to where I really like Waka, mm-hmm. but things can unravel quickly. So I was kind of glad that they pulled him and hit for him today when they did. So I kind of feel that way about some of the bullpen pieces. I think everything, now that there is somebody in the back end, has actually settled things down, like Cecil said, but or had mentioned earlier in the year. But it's still, I'm not at my highest confidence in the bullpen outside of Lyons and Nicasio, mm-hmm. at this point. Although, you know, I thought Bowman did a great job tonight. You know, he did his job. I mean, that's right. Young had kind of rushed that play, and that was the only really black mark, and that was, you know, two ground balls. So, you know, maybe they are coming around, and I'm just not giving them the credit.
Well, and that's the kind of thing that, you know, one, Mike Matheny has somehow figured that Matt Bowman is Seth Maness and can conjure up a double play.
I think that
will.
All the time. Yeah, I think that all the time.
And there's just not... I mean, yes, he gets ground balls at times, but they're not necessarily, you know, double play balls. And the problem with ground ball pitchers is sometimes ground balls go through. That's why I wish... And I don't believe that they should have brought in, like, Sandy Alcantara at that spot, because he does have a little bit of command issues. He is young, and he hasn't been used a lot. But I wish that he had been used enough in certain situations that you could start thinking about bringing him in there, because he has such an arm that, you know, you're going to get you got a good chance of getting that strikeout that you need when you've got, you know, runner at third and one out. It just he hasn't been used that way. I mean, there are guys that I just don't know that are still here. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Some of them got a chance to pitch in one of the Cincinnati games, but, you know, Alcantara, Tua Lavalla, you know, O apparently was hurt, and again, we don't necessarily need to see a whole lot of O.
No, and then, of course, he was the first one out of the pen the other night.
Yeah.
You know, it drove me nuts. I was like, you know, Tua Lavalla never gets any love. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he came in after O. And the Alcantara did too. So I completely agree with you that the management still gets on my nerves.
Yeah. Well, and again, I mean, there is, you know, again, I said earlier, you know, there's people that seem to be very enamored with the fact that Luke Voit should be playing. And I don't think he should be starting, or at least not on a regular basis, especially since Carpenter seems to be doing fine. Now, when Carpenter was hurt, you know, maybe that's a different story. Although, again, with Jose Martinez hitting so well, he has to play first. But, you know, so guys like Voit get buried. Guys like Kelly get buried. And you hate it. You hate it for them. But there's nothing else you could do, honestly. You know, the guys that are playing are being effective. And I know people, you know, keep talking about, you know, Matheny's guys. But these guys are producing. And if they're producing, why do you take them out of the lineup on a regular basis?
Yeah, I mean, very true. The I think they're putting out the right field swap kind of bothers me a little bit, but then I'm going to keep my mouth shut about it, mainly because, you know, it worked out for him. Mm-hmm. You know, Piscotty had, you know, a huge hit. And but he seems to be getting the majority of the playing time to where, I mean, Grichuk didn't look great yesterday. And I knew that would probably set him down for at least a couple of weeks, but Bader doesn't get a lot of shot at all. And, you know, I can see it. I mean, that's the thing is I would like for Diaz to get in at bat or anything more than a pinch run a little bit. And it's just not going to happen. I mean, they're just going to keep rolling out what's got them there. And you know, I guess we can't complain at this point.
Well, and there's some of that. And again, it's just... You want them to put out their best lineup, especially now, with with this race being so tight. I mean, yeah. When they're down by, you know, when they were down 7-8 games or whatever, then yeah, they should have played some of these guys a little bit more than they did. But right now, you got 2 weeks left. You got less than that left. You got a week and change left. You know, you just got to run those guys out there, and if they win it, they win it, and if they don't. You know, they can rest in the wintertime. You can't be gambling that Luke Voit is going to be able to hit like Matt Carpenter is going to be. I think he could hit like Chris Carpenter. I'm pretty sure about that. But, you know, you can't gamble that he's going to hit like Matt Carpenter has been hitting, because Matt Carpenter, again, has been hitting and getting on base and being productive part of the offense, even if it's not exactly the way we expect it to be. You can't run out... I mean, I think you could run out Bader or Sierra in that outfield mix with Piscotty and Grichuk and not lose a lot. But, you know, Matheny's probably not going to do that. He wants to keep Sierra, I think, for the pinch running positions like we saw with tonight with Molina. And, you know, why Bader doesn't play a little bit more, I don't know. Because he seemed to do pretty well right after he got called up. You know, he had about 3 home runs in a couple of weeks span. He just didn't get out there. Which, you know, whatever. Again, like you said, it's a lot harder to argue when people are winning.
Yeah, I just get the feeling that Matheny gets the mindset that Bader can't play anywhere but center. Do you ever feel like that? Because now that's the only place he plays.
Yeah.
And it's weird because I keep thinking that he's going to be in the lineup and you're just like, okay, well, it's his turn. And, you know, I texted you today. I was like, you know, I'm really down on Piscotty and I'm glad he got the hit tonight. And I wish we could see the one that you know, mashed line drives and doubles, you know, 2 years ago.
Right.
But, I mean, we all do. But you're right. I'm just like, well, it's almost like Bader and Sierra have the same role at this point, but Bader will get the occasional pinch hit, you know, just because he can hit a little bit. Yeah. So I don't know. It does kind of seem like a weird roster spot, but I guess there's no wasted roster spots at this point because you have so many guys. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're right. I mean, it's probably that configuration of about 10 guys are who we're going to see from here on out.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that we have expanded rosters, and we have them for situations like tonight where Matheny can pinch run and pinch hit and do all those kind of things. But for the most part, you know, the starting lineup's not going to change much. You know, if you wanted to see Voit or if you wanted to see Kelly, you would have had to have seen the Cardinals eliminated by now. And I don't think that's what we want. You know, I don't think there's anybody out there that says they're a Cardinal fan that really wants this team to be done. Now, there's going to be people out there, and like us, we've said it before, that have thought this team is done, that kind of had their mental mindset that this team is done, but I don't think anybody wants them to be done. I think we all want them to get to the postseason. We all want them to do well in the postseason. Whether we think that's going to happen or not, it's a totally different story, but that's what we want. And if you want that, you know, right now, those are the guys that are producing. You got to keep it going the way it is. I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's anything else this week.
A conversation that would be fun to have, and another one of those that it probably jinxes to even talk about it, would be a playoff roster. I'd like to see how they did it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know how that works. Yeah, I figure it's a lot of what you saw earlier in the year, but because I don't know that anybody has made a big push in September to get on the roster. It would be, I think you're just, you know, I mean, which outfielders do they take?
That would be, yeah, that'd be the question.
I have a feeling they would take Piscotty and Grichuk and Fowler and Pham. I just think that's probably what they would take. Of course, you know, you run into some issues. I mean, do you take a Jed Jerko who seems to be just limited to pinch hitting on the hope that he's going to continue to heal and may be available? Do you take, you know, who do you take to back up the shortstop? Is Greg Garcia good enough to back that up, or do you need Alamedes Diaz, I don't know that that's any better.
Yeah, and I don't know. I have a feeling that he doesn't have... Unless they are eliminated, I doubt Diaz plays any shortstop.
Yeah.
He may not play any in a position at all unless they're eliminated, which I didn't think would be the case. I thought that he would get a little bit of time at third base and maybe a look at second just because Wong's kind of scuffling a little bit. But you also have to go with now to where, you know, Wong's your guy, you know, so he's going to have to play. So I'm just not certain, but you're right. I mean, that also goes into the idea that I have that Matheny thinks Garcia is a super sub.
Yeah.
And can play anywhere in the infield and come up with a big hit. And you know what? He shut me up several times, and I like him for what he's worth, but I don't think he's as good as Matheny thinks he is.
Well, no. I mean, Garcia's extremely good. He's fine. Let's put it that way. The best Garcia is the guy that can play a couple of times a week, maybe. Filling in here and there because he can play most positions, but you don't want him starting and you don't want him out there every day in a different position or anything like that. You just want him, you know, maybe once a week starting and occasionally pinch hitting because he does. I mean, he's not going to hit you a home run, but he can at times, you know, get the runner in from second or whatever if necessary.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you that Matheny may have a higher opinion of him than he should.
But these games are good.
Yeah, I see. Wow. Cubs are up 5-4.
And they just walked the leadoff guy in the bottom of the 10th. And here's the not to give the, do the play by play or anything, but the Padres had a leadoff single, had a strike him out, throw him out double play. Jankowski singled, stole second. And then Lyles on a 3-1 pitch drove him in, to get that run back. And then, who I think is a really good player, and we just don't hear about him enough because A, he's young, and B, he's in San Diego, is that Margot guy, their center fielder. He can play. And he's drilled two balls tonight, one for a double, or one for a two-out triple, and then a laser just now at, what's his name? He's the former Rocky that's playing left field for, Parra. So this is going to be a dogfight in both of these.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you expect, I guess, out of September baseball. But, looking forward, the Cardinals have two with the Pirates, and that will end their road portion of the regular season. And they go home for four against the Cubs, and then they have three with the Brewers. Yeah, you asked me earlier today if 7-3 was good enough. I don't know that it is. I guess it just depends on what Milwaukee and Colorado do. Obviously it does, but, and given the trouble that especially Colorado has run into with weaker teams, you can't really necessarily look at the schedule, but I feel like, losing, they need to probably sweep Pittsburgh and then lose, they can lose one against the Cubs and maybe one against the Brewers. But that's about it. I feel like three losses and they're probably done.
Yeah, and that's why I sent that to you. It was a buddy of mine text me. He said, okay, what happens from here on out? I go, I'm saying 7-3. And he goes, do they get in at 7-3? And I go, well, the only prediction I'm going to make is I think that they're either going to be tied or a half game up in the second spot on Monday. But I'm not convinced they hold on to it. That's how I worded it with him. And then I thought, 7-3 may not do it because I was thinking 7-3, and that's with a split with Chicago. Mm-hmm. So you would have to either sweep Pittsburgh or Milwaukee. And you're right, you may not be able to. So I don't know. One thing that's weighing on me that worries me about the Rockies is the fact that L.A. laid down against San Francisco last year in that last series. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm sure Roberts will take that same approach if they need to find another gear. And I keep telling myself that may be why they kind of press a little bit the last week of the season. But I'm not convinced that that's the case. I kind of feel like Roberts and Matheny are a lot in the mindset of they're both players, managers, and they're not going to ride guys out. And I have a feeling that if he can lighten it up that last week of the season and get by his guys a few days of rest, he will. And Colorado will just beat the brakes off of them, and it's going to be a moot point. That's my biggest concern about the race.
Yeah, who was it? It was earlier this year, I think. It was part of when Los Angeles couldn't win, but it was like they're facing the Brewers. Or maybe they were facing the Cubs. I don't remember who it was. And the Cardinals kept winning, and they couldn't gain any ground because, the Dodgers kept winning. And it was like, and it was close. It was when they were, like, maybe tied for first or right in that area. It was like, it's just the Dodgers. They can't do anything for you. The only thing I would say on that, though, is being how erratic this month has been for them, they might try to go in, play well and try to go in on a high note rather than...
Sure, that's what I would hope.
Yeah.
Well, and it may, home field advantage may be in play on that. Yeah. That's another thing I was kind of thinking about. And we'll see. But that has been weighed on my mind. That's why I would like, of course you want to see San Diego win the series. But I think a 2-2 split really puts the pressure on Colorado.
Yeah.
So you lose ground regardless, and you can feel good about yourself walking out of there, but you still lose ground, in Colorado's eyes. So that's kind of what I was hoping to see. But then, you know, they have, is it, I think it's Miami?
Yeah, they have LA. Miami at home.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, Miami's, even though they've kind of fallen out of it, they're still, I mean, you look at tonight, they're, you know what, up 9-7 on the Diamondbacks in just the fifth inning. I mean, they're still playing pretty tough.
Exactly. And they're really, they're not eliminated. I mean, I think their elimination number is down to one. But, you know, one thing that I was thinking could be a big factor, man, Stanton going for 60 at Coors.
Yeah.
That could be it. That could be it. That could add to it.
That's true. That could be pretty wild. I didn't really give him that, much thought, but you're right. He could be. He very well might get it. I don't know. But
the roof's about to come off in Milwaukee. I'll explain here in a little bit. Go ahead.
Well, no. I mean, I'm just kind of looking at this and you know, again, we saw tonight that they got behind late, and it was a little bit scary because you look at these games, and you don't know who's going to win here. But to miss out on any opportunities now feels like every loss just puts nails in those coffins that you just can't imagine getting out of. Mm-hmm. But and again, you know, there's only 10 games left. But, you know, this time last week, we, you know, had the coffin all nailed down and everything, too. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, here we are, still talking about this team.
Well, and, you know, and this is complete honesty. After the walk-in start on Saturday when they got beat, I was like, well, I just don't think you can recover. You know what I mean? I just don't think you can recover. You're in trouble. And then the way the way they did, the Lynn start, I thought, well, in a way, I'm glad that it kind of ended like this. So now let's just see how much they play. And you'd made the comment, do we start seeing more Kelly and everything now? And then, you know, come Monday roll around, you and I were kind of talking. It was like, well, let's just see how they come out and play. And then they come down, they lose the lead, and you keep thinking, okay, well, this is kind of what you expected. You don't want to see them lay down when you still had a chance. Then they come back, and they win the second game. And you're thinking, well, now – here we go. And then they win this day, and then Colorado loses. So you're just like, okay, now it's kind of back into it. So, of course, you know, the door's open for them. We don't know if they'll take it, but it is surprising that they're at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they have gotten a lot of luck, a lot of help. But, you know, that's baseball, too. I mean, and we should know that, given 2011 and given some other situations, but yeah, those games seem so huge. I mean, like I said, we were talking about 2.5 with whatever it was, 12, 13 games to go. I mean, that's huge if a team is playing well. They've just been lucky that the Rockies especially have not played well. Because if the Rockies had played even, you know, 500 ball, I think, over the last week or so, you know what, they're 3.5 back or something, and we're pretty much done. So people have left the door open and the Cardinals have taken advantage, and that's great. And hopefully that continues, but man, I'd much rather be up a game and a half, two games than down that gap going into this last week.
Yeah. And you go to that, and it's on that West Coast, and it's going to be late baseball, and it's stressful right now. It's a fun stressful, you know, there we, you know, like I said, I'm greedy. All I asked for is, I said, if they weren't going to be in contention or if they couldn't secure a playoff spot, A, don't ruin the summer. B, play meaningful September baseball, and play the Memphis guys. And they've done all that, and here I am, you know, throwing stuff at during double plays.
yeah. Well, I see the Cubs have won.
Oh, well, it's two. See, I'm a little slow. It's 2-1. It's 2-1 count, but Walker just flat out. So yeah, that's second place Cardinals right now. Okay.
Twitter is where the update was faster than anything else.
Okay.
The ESPN thing is still saying it's way behind. So they're ahead of the Milwaukee, and you know, it's 2-1 game out in San Diego. If San Diego's able to rally, you know, this is. Either way, I mean, just to be able to be in second place now in both of these races, basically, is pretty interesting. I mean, you know, the division's five games, and you're talking about 10-game lead. you know, even if you sweep the Cubs, and I don't think anybody, I mean, that's the problem, I think. You know, you've got the Cubs coming into town right after the Cubs swept you, and I know that's it's a wholly different mentality now and approach and everything, but like you said, that team looked a lot better than the Cardinals. I mean, they had the edge, maybe had small edges here and there, but they added up to be, you know, significant. You know, you kind of get worried about facing that Cubs team, even a Cubs team that, you know, their magic number 5 right now. If they sweep Milwaukee, it'll be down to 1, which means, yay, they could clinch at Busch Stadium. That's just what we want to see. You know, maybe that, you know, if they clinch the division early on, then, you know, maybe they rest in those 2 or 3 games, and that'll help the Cardinals. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of variables in there, I guess, that you don't really want to think about, but, you know, could come into play.
Yeah, that's the clinching situation is bothersome a little bit, but you do wonder if they wouldn't back it off a little bit. You know, because I would love to see how Madden handled that. Because I really think he one of the ways he motivates that team is to beat St. Louis. And I would like to see how he handled that. But, you know, hopefully they don't clinch until, you know, Milwaukee and St. Louis are playing. So I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah, I don't know. I hear there was a close. They're reading through Twitter. Apparently there was a close play.
Well,
in Milwaukee, last night.
Yeah, it was questionable, and it looked like he came off, but I don't know.
Yeah, and that's of course, you know, I'll get onto my replay thing. My feeling on replay is it should not be this. You know, if you have to break it down frame by frame by frame to tell the difference, then it shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't be using replay for that. You should be using replay for Dinkinger, for, you know, Jim Joyce in the Galarraga perfect game. I mean, things that are fairly clear that they're not, or they're at least somewhat questionable. If you have to go frame by frame to see if a lace tagged the runner, then that's not what replay is, in my mind, it's not what replay really is supposed to do. Replay is supposed to correct bad calls, and a call that might be wrong is not necessarily bad, because in those situations that are just, you know, the human eye can't figure it out, you know, that's fine, you know, the umpire missed it, but it's not, you know, it wasn't egregious, and I think that's what I want to see out of replay, is just egregious calls.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I'm not the biggest fan of replay all the way around for that very reason. That's just not what it was intended for. And it's, of all the things they can do to save games, has not gotten any better. That slows it down as much as anything, and I think they fail to look at it that way.
Yeah, I think that's true too. I mean, they look at that and say, you know, it's they're looking at ways to speed up the game, and they don't look at that. Because I know what they did some. They were supposed to get it down to, you know, less than 2 minutes or whatever, but they don't always figure that out, unfortunately. So now we just sit here root for the Padres, and then we see what this weekend will bring. It's an interesting time to be a Cardinal fan. And
I wanted to be ahead of somebody, either Colorado or Milwaukee, when they went back home. That was kind of where I was going with who to root for. You would be it Chicago or Milwaukee. I just wanted to be the Cardinals to be ahead of one of those teams when they went back to St. Louis. So hopefully they can hold on to do that.
Yeah, they're, like you said, half game ahead of Milwaukee right now, a game behind the Rockies. Could be half a game, could be a game and a half, depending on what that game turns out to be. And I think the big thing, you know, something that we didn't expect earlier in the year, they won their 81st game tonight, which means they're guaranteed a .500 season, and odds are, unless they have just a terrible last week, are going to finish over .500. They'll get that extra win and get 82 wins. You know, at one point in time, early in June, September, I think. You know, I did that kind of calculation, and it was they had to play like a 580, 590 clip to get there, just to get to 82. And they've done so much more. I mean, you know, that, you know, it's kind of hard to believe the way we watch this team now that they spent, you know, what, 75% of the season under 500.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about. You know, I remember, you know, it's sometimes the math just is, it can be so troublesome for me. I can almost keep up. So it's just you want to go, well, let's go game by game, series by series, see where it goes. And then, you know, they haven't been bad for that. And I, when you said that just now, I was like, I remember you saying what they would need to play. And we were both like, well, I just can't see that happening. And, you know, here they are. And, you know, you're right. I mean, this has been the most bizarre season.
Yeah, I mean, you have to go back. I mean, they got beat by the Cubs, obviously, this last time. But, I mean, you have to go back to that, you know, the San Diego-Tampa Bay homestand, I think, really, to see much, you know, series they lost besides that. And part of it's getting into the Central, but, you know, they were so bad against the Central for most of this year. I mean, we kind of thought, hey, look, they're coming into the Central, but they're, you know, what, 10, 15 games under 500 against the Central? This isn't, you know, something that's supposed to be helpful, and yet so far it has been.
Yeah, that's, and we were talking, I was thinking about this whenever you were saying it about beating up on the teams that are bad, you know. Well, they were terrible against the Central.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, now they're riding the ship at the you know, the most opportune time.
Yep, and hopefully the Cubs are just a little too hot because they're 9-1 in their last 10 after winning tonight. You know, hopefully they, you know, if they want to beat the Brewers, I guess the next day or so. Because I mean, I'm not rooting for the Cubs. Definitely not rooting for the Cubs. You know, if the Cardinals win, actually, I guess the best thing, as somebody pointed out now, is to get that split. And you know, the Cardinals win the next two games, and the Brewers win the next two games. That would put the Cubs and Cardinals within three, and they'd still be ahead of Milwaukee. That would be good, but like you said, it's just they got to win the games they play, and they can't lose for many of them. And we'll see how that goes. Lance Lynn goes tomorrow night. Jack Flaherty is out of the rotation. I guess that's something we probably, before we wrap it up for the night, let's talk a little bit about that. You know, Flaherty had such a great year in Memphis and was kind of called up, and I don't think he was expected to be the savior, and I don't think anybody expected him to pitch the way like Luke Weaver is pitching now, but I don't think anybody expected, one, for him to be pulled out of the rotation, but two, to see him, I think, what, did he get to five innings once? He got pulled out after two in his last start. And he's not been hit hard or really been beat around, but it was just enough to not be effective, I guess, and that's a little surprising.
Sure, and that's there was no fooling anyone the other night. That was what was troublesome to me, is a lot of hard hit balls. And one was a ball that was just smoked, and bam, ran a long way to catch it. And that was, I had an advertisement pop up when I had my MLB on just now, and I couldn't hear anything. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, he was up against the innings limit anyway. It really, he didn't have the success that Weaver did last year, but it is funny how they have mirrored each other's call-ups a little bit, you know, from last year. You know, because Weaver did the same thing. Remember, he had the home run issues, and we were all really concerned about that. And but, you know, now it's one of those where when you see Weaver pull up in that four-game series against Chicago, you're pretty confident you're going to be in it.
Yeah.
So, that, you know, hopefully they can do that with Flaherty. I think Rusty with the Redbird Daily site had a good article about don't give up on Flaherty, you know, and stating all the reasons why, which I completely agreed with wholeheartedly, because I think people will start turning on him. It's unfortunately that's the fan base that we're in. One thing that is alarming to me is just breaking down next year's rotation, next year's possibilities, and what we think is going to happen. They are really exposed. I just don't know. They have to find a lot of innings somewhere, and whether as of if Flaherty's not ready, and I completely think that he starts in Memphis next year, I don't think Reyes starts in the rotation. I think he ultimately is there. Mm-hmm. Is Gant a guy that has a chance to actually win a job in spring? If not, I mean, you're really, really exposed in a staff that under Mozeliak, that's never happened. They've always had that five or six that you could count on to get starts. And I don't know if they have that next year.
I don't know. You and I have talked about them picking up some sort of veteran guy, the one-year deal to fill in. Maybe they try for Lance Lynn, although I still think that the fact that they have not discussed anything with Lance Lynn pretty much means even if they tried, Lynn is not going to be listening much there. They're going to be very young, or they're going to, you know, have to hope that Adam Wainwright really bounces back and Carlos Martinez takes that next step and Luke Weaver's for real. So there are some questions for next year, and who knows how that gets answered. I mean, this is, you know, we've talked about it. There's chances to upgrade at just about every position this team has. They have good players at every position, but, you know, you can get great players. Not at every position, because that's a little difficult. But, you know, even if it takes, you know, upgrading at first base, if it takes upgrading at third base, if it takes upgrading on the pitcher's mound, they can do that without, you know, displacing somebody that really needs to be there. So maybe that's what they do. Maybe they'll look at pitching this offseason.
Sure.
I don't know. I think they'll be a little hesitant after giving the Mike Leake contract and then paying for Lake to go away. Especially since I'm not sure who the big contracts are, the big pitchers are out there this year. But, I think they're very confident with these guys that they have. And, you know, maybe they keep thinking they're going to have some others. Maybe they're going to, you know, they got Gomber, they've got Dakota Hudson, other arms that can come up. And maybe that idea is they're really going to have more like a 10-man rotation. And, you know, four or five of them are going to just be in Memphis at all times. And they'll just come up back and forth and see how that goes. I don't know.
It'll be interesting. And then just like in some of the improvement areas, you know, like Michael Gersh was on with Bernie this week, and he was really good. And he's kind of learning a little bit of Mo speak. And, opportunistic came up, and, you know, we're not going to close any doors and all kinds of stuff, which I think is the approach you have to take. I could also see them landing a couple pieces in a multiplayer deal, and one happen to be a controllable starter, you know, on a short-term run, you know, a year or two, whether they find that with a third baseman, whether they find that with an outfielder or whatever direction they're going to go. I could see that being something that they would do. Because they usually don't leave themselves this exposed. And anybody that they bring up, it's usually about a two-year plan. You know, just like Reyes, he came up to start, and Weaver did last year, out of an emergency. But they went to the bullpen pretty quickly after that. And you wonder, you know, they're going to be cautious with Reyes and see how that goes. And another thing is the bullpen. Hummel mentioned something like 70% of the bullpen will be turned over next year, which I think is just about right. But that's something I think that they – I don't think they sign – I don't think a Wade Davis is something that's in play for them. They may surprise me. I don't know. That may be stepping out of their comfort zone a little bit. But I think them going and trading for somebody that has a year or two of control would probably be – would be more in line with what they've done in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, that's very possible. That would be – more in line with what they've done, but, you know, we've also seen that what they've been doing has not been as successful as they'd like it to be.
Yeah.
And so they may try to do some new stuff. I don't know. I have to wait and see, I guess. anyway. All right, well, like I said, I think we've done it for tonight. We'll just have to see where we're sitting. You know, we'll come back to you next Friday.
It's game to game and week to week for us.
We might be sitting here talking about a playoff team. We might be sitting here talking about an eliminated team. We might be sitting here talking about a team, you know, hanging on for their dear life. I don't know. Lots of different options. A lot of things that could happen between now and next Friday. So Like you say, it's interesting baseball. The last week of the season, you know, just think about the fact that the Giants were eliminated like a month ago. Mm-hmm. You know what that's like. So at least we don't have to spend a whole lot of time with things that don't matter. It's going to be interesting. So for Alan, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!